Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, in the first week of term, when we were looking at different aspects of the kingdom, we saw that all these different aspects of the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom, you can't see them, you can't feel them, but you have them. All these different aspects of kingdom life. And this is true of what we're going to be talking about this morning. Something that you have that you can never see and never feel. But if you're going to be a person of faith, you have to trust in this dimension of God's life and really of what his whole attitude towards you is. So turn first of all to Galatians. We're actually going to spend most of the morning in Ephesians, but we're going to start in Galatians chapter 3, where Paul makes a key statement. Verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This is not a sexist remark. It's simply pointing to the fact that every child of God has the full inheritance of sons and share in the sonship of Jesus. Now, how is this? Paul says it's through faith in Christ Jesus. If we turn over to Ephesians, we'll see that there Paul emphasizes throughout this epistle on the subject of grace. Now, Paul understood the grace of God very well. He persecuted the church, was responsible for the imprisonment and death of many Christians, and yet God saved him and called him to be the great apostle to the Gentiles. So he understood well the grace of God, that everything God had done in his life was a work of grace. It wasn't a reward, it wasn't the result of anything that he had done, but it was the gift of God. And that's how you must always remember grace. It's the gift of God to those who deserve nothing. So the way you qualify for grace is to know you deserve nothing. Now, there are two aspects of grace, and Paul speaks about both of these in Ephesians. So we're going to do a bit of a Bible study this morning. First of all, it's always difficult because from verse 3 to 11, there's just one sentence in the original Greek, and you have to chop it up according to how you will to in order to translate and make sense of it. It's just one conditional phrase after clause after another. So if we look at the middle of verse 4, well, the end of verse 4 and into verse 5. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. So we're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's when we became sons. But it's the result of his love for us. It's something that he predestined. He decided that you should be a child of God. It was not your idea. When you responded to the gospel, you were responding to the fact that he had called you and he had chosen you. So in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Jesus is described as the one and only Son of God because he was the only one born of God. We are born of a human mother and father, but when we are born again, then we are adopted by God to be his children. And the whole question of adoption is you choose who to adopt. So God chose to adopt you. That was an act of his love. It was a work of his grace because you didn't deserve to be adopted. You didn't do anything to be adopted. It wasn't because he liked the color of your eyes or the way you looked, nor was it the result of anything you had done. It was something that in love he predestined. So immediately we are faced with the fact that God has called and chosen you, made you his adopted son because he has a particular purpose for you. So in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So it was his pleasure to adopt you. In the natural, if parents want to adopt a child, it's their pleasure to do that. They're longing to have a child or another child. So they choose to adopt. It was God's pleasure. He didn't do it begrudgingly. He didn't sort of see you one day making response to the gospel and say, well, I suppose I'll have to let this one into my kingdom. It wasn't like that at all. He chose you. He chose to adopt you. It was his plan and his purpose. So in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace. So the only reason really why he chose you was out of love so that he could demonstrate just how gracious he is. And if you're foolish enough to look at yourself, then you see just how gracious God has been in calling and choosing you. With the idea of you becoming like his son and living a holy and righteous and blameless life before him. I mean, only God would dare to have that perspective on your life. So it was in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So this glorious grace that enabled you to be adopted as his son, he has given you. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. But you have his glorious grace. Now, who knows that once God has given something to you, he never takes it away. Doesn't mean that you always live in the good of it, but he never takes away what he's given. A gift is a gift. He doesn't lend you something and then take it back. So he wasn't lending you grace. And then if you decide not to be obedient to him, you say, well, I'll take my grace away. It simply means that if you're disobedient, you're no longer walking in his grace. But as soon as you turn back in obedience to what he wants, his grace is there to enable that life of obedience. Are we all breathing? Okay, so this means that we are completely dependent upon his glorious grace to actually be the sons of God or the children of God. Without that grace, it wouldn't have been possible. So you are who you are at this moment because of God's grace. So everything in your Christian life is actually dependent upon that grace. That grace is the foundation of your life in Christ. It's the foundation of your whole relationship with God. It's a work of grace. Why should the creator of the universe decide to have a personal relationship with you, of all people, knowing you inside out? Must be the work of his grace. You couldn't say, hey God, this is me, you ought to have a relationship with me, otherwise you're missing out. Some people seem to give that kind of impression, don't they? But not everything is dependent upon his grace. And you see, Paul says, in love he predestined us, so grace is the practical expression of his love. So every time you think about the grace of God, you realize that what God is doing is expressing his love for you, actually in very practical ways. So he expressed his love for you in adopting you, calling you, choosing you, predestining you in love to be his child. Then Paul continues, oh, this glorious grace, he said, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Right, now, notice that. Look at that very, very carefully. Where is the grace? It's in the one he loves. But if you look at that word one, it has a capital letter because it refers to Jesus. So all the grace that we need is in Jesus. That's why when he adopted us, he put us in Christ Jesus, into Christ, so that all the grace that is in him is available to you. That was worth an hallelujah. Okay, then Paul says, in him we have redemption through his blood. We have been completely purchased. We belong to him because he's adopted us. Made completely acceptable in his sight. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, we're talking about on Sunday, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. So, this redemption that we have, this forgiveness, this total acceptance, this total cleansing of all our sins is the work of his grace. So Jesus went to the cross, took all your sin, all your sicknesses, all your failure, every negative thing, in order that God might demonstrate his grace to you. Without the cross, you could not have experienced that grace. So, he gave us this grace in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. When you lavish something, you do it superabundantly. So, through forgiving you, accepting you, making you worthy to be adopted as his child, God lavished his grace. Now, just remember where we started. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So the question always remains, do you believe and trust in how lavish God's grace is towards you? Hello? In other words, how greatly God wants to give to you. And how he wants to keep lavishing his gifts upon you. That's the kind of faith that Paul is talking about. So, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of grace that he lavished, of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, who does the wisdom and understanding refer to? Did God lavish his grace upon you through his wisdom and his understanding? Or does it refer to the fact that he lavished his grace upon you and he lavished his wisdom and his understanding upon you so that you could understand what it is he's lavished by giving all this grace to you? It's surely the latter, isn't it? God has lavished his grace upon you. He's lavished his wisdom upon you. He's lavished his understanding so that you can know and understand the riches of what he has given you and can have the wisdom to live in the good of those riches. Are you breathing? The result of this, he says, is he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. But we can't go through everything that Paul says in this letter, otherwise we'd be here till Christmas. But if we just go on to chapter 2, because we're focusing on grace. Chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, showing us his forgiveness, making us acceptable in his sight so we could become his children. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So we know that that whole work of salvation is purely the work of his grace. All we had to do was to put our faith in that grace. And that's effectively what a person does when he is born again. And you see, this has got nothing to do with making a decision or praying a sinner's prayer like a parrot after someone else. This is having faith in God's grace. So becoming a child of God. So it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Remember, all this grace is in Christ. You have been put in Christ. As Christ has been raised to those heavenly realms, so you have been raised in him to those heavenly realms. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Right, so it is by grace you have been saved, but God's purpose, because you live in Christ and because you reign with him in heavenly places, he wants to demonstrate to the whole of creation, really, the kindness of his grace in your life today. not just that you have been saved by grace, but he wants to continue to show you his grace. And in doing that, he not only shows you his love, he shows you his kindness. Kindness, remember, is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. So God wants to show you kindness every day. When you're kind to someone, you have a good attitude towards them, but you also want to give to them. So God wants to continue to express his love for you in his kindness. In other words, he wants to continue to lavish grace upon you every day. Not just to get you saved, but he wants to keep giving to you. So you see, again, we ask the question, okay, do you believe and trust in God's grace in that way? Do you believe that his purpose in your life today is to be so kind to you that he's going to lavish his gifts upon you today? Well, thank you for your answers. They were very encouraging. From your silence, I can see why God has laid this message on my heart for this morning. Because you see, God wants us to be in the place where we would immediately affirm that. And remember, when you just hear a truth and you don't respond, nothing happens in your spirit. But when you respond, when you actually say amen, when you hallelujah, when you actually make a vocal response, something happens in your spirit. This is not just a preacher's method of getting you to participate. Something happens within your spirit when you respond. Otherwise, you just accumulate knowledge. But we want to grow in the spirit, don't we? Okay, so he has raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness for us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith in his grace, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Even the faith is a gift of God, because he is the author and perfecter of your faith. So God gave you the faith so you could trust in his grace and become a child of God, and now he wants to continue to show his grace so that he can show that in his love he expresses his kindness towards you. Are we getting it? Okay, so let's go on to chapter 3. Now Paul talks about his own ministry. Chapter 3, verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me. Now, he's beginning to talk about the other aspect of grace. So far, he's talked about the grace that God extends to every child of God, to all those whom he has adopted as his son. Now he's talking about a particular grace. A particular grace that was given to Paul. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. It is the mystery made known to me by revelation. So he recognizes that his whole ministry, not just his life, that he was saved by grace, but everything that God is enabling him to do in his ministry is because of the particular grace that God had given him. Now you see, at this time, God had not given grace to anybody else to be the apostle to the Gentiles. That was a very specific and particular grace given to Paul because that was his calling. Remember, he starts many of his letters, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. So therefore, God gave him the grace to fulfill that calling. So God wouldn't give you that grace unless he had called you to be an apostle, but he still wouldn't have given you the grace that he gave to Paul because that was very specific, very personal, just for that one person. So now we're seeing the other aspect of God's grace, because if that was true for Paul, as we shall see, it will also be true for you. That yes, you're a child of God, you're a son of God by God's grace. He has lavished his grace upon you. He wants to express his kindness towards you every day through you being able to receive more and more through his grace. But at the same time, he wants you to receive a particular grace for the things to which he calls you personally and specifically. So there will be a grace upon your life that is totally unique to you. I know that everything God has accomplished in my ministry is the work of his grace. I haven't been able to do any of it. It's totally the work of his grace. But that's the unique grace that God has given to me. He hasn't given it to anybody else. I think I shared with you before, people often say, will you pray for me because I want the anointing on your life? You can't have the anointing on my life because I need it. And what you need is the specific anointing for your life. You can't have the grace that God has given me. You need the grace that God will give you. So you cannot fulfill my calling, and I cannot fulfill your calling. Because the only way to fulfill the calling of God on our lives is by his grace. By trusting in him to work in us and through us by his Spirit. All that is a work of his grace. So then Paul says in verse 7 of chapter 3, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Now Christians are forever saying, Lord, I need more power. I want more power in my life. No, 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 my friend. It's not more power you need. It's more faith in his grace. You see, it's faith in his grace that releases the power. You've already got the power. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have, according to Scripture, the power that raised Jesus from the dead and enabled him to ascend to heaven. You have that power already within you. But to see that power released in your life, you need dependence upon his grace. Faith in his grace. So I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people. This is not Paul playing fun and games and putting on a sort of a cloak of false humility. This is how he sees himself. Just remember, God raises up the humble. He doesn't raise up the proud. He withstands the proud. He stands against them. But he raises up the humble. So you can be sure that it's only through persisting in that humility that God will raise you up. And the way he does that is by you demonstrating that you're faithful in small things. That's what Jesus says. If you're faithful in small things, then he puts you in charge of bigger things. If you can't be trustworthy in small things, he knows you won't be trustworthy in bigger things. So we prove our trustworthiness. What does that mean? We remain humble and dependent upon his grace. And when he sees that, and the way in which he can use us in small ways, then he puts us in charge of bigger and bigger, seemingly more and more important things, or we can have a wider and wider influence. God can use us to actually produce more and more fruit because we're faithful in doing what he has put before us. Now, man does not judge that faithfulness. It's God Himself who knows when you or I or anybody has proved faithful to what He's saying now. So you may wonder what God is going to do with you when you leave the college or even after your time on the team, if unless you're here for life. But I think I'm the only one that's been here for life. But you see, what God wants is for you to prove faithful in what He's asking of you now. Not just to be dreaming of all the ways in which He could use you in the future. Because when you're faithful now, then that gives Him what? Well, it gives Him the opportunity to increase the grace, the specific grace on your life, because He will give you grace then to put you in charge of more. That's how Jesus puts it. I put it that way because that's how Jesus puts it. He will put you in charge of greater things. So, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me. Now, His specific grace to preach to the Gentiles, to the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God who created all things, and so on. So if we go on to chapter 4, in verse 7, Paul says, "And to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." So this has got nothing to do with the grace by which you have been saved, the grace by which you have been made a child of God. This is the grace for the specific calling of God on your life. He apportions to you the grace you need in order to do what He's wanting you to do. So that means that whatever task we have in front of us, the only way to fulfill that task adequately is by faith in His grace. So the only way in which we sort of grow in the purposes of God is because He gives us more and more grace to do more and more that He puts in front of us. So how this works, you see, is by our faith in His grace. So you may be very comfortable with the way in which God is using you or the way He is working within your life at any particular point, but then He puts something before you which is way outside your comfort zone, something that you know you cannot do, something that is beyond you. And that's the testing of your faith. Scripture says the testing of our faith proves it's genuine. Right now, will you trust that God will increase the grace you need in order to fulfill His call to do that which He puts in front of you? Can you see that? In this way, God keeps us dependent upon Him. In this way, He keeps us trusting in Him and not in ourselves. He will always supply the grace to do whatever He calls you to do. But you can't feel the grace. You can't see the grace. You can't touch the grace. It's only there when by faith you step out in obedience to do what He asks you to do. It isn't that you have an experience of receiving grace and then you do it. It's when you step out in obedience to do whatever he's calling you to do that then the grace you find is there to do it. Are we getting this? So what you're actually doing when you step out in faith is you're trusting in God's grace. You know that because of his love, he will never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you to your own devices, but he will always supply all the grace you need in order to do what he's asking you to do. I told you I can give my testimony in one sentence, really. God continually to asking me to do things I cannot do and then supplying the grace to do. But you have to step out in faith and then the grace is there. Faith and grace operate together in our lives. So to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, he then goes on to talk about, Paul then goes on to talk about the fivefold ministry. And you see, these are not the only ministry gifts, because there are other lists of ministries that Paul gives us elsewhere in his epistles. But how we understand these and all the other ministries to which he calls his children is actually they are specific anointings. They are specific works of God's grace. God has anointed different people in different ways. He has graced them in different ways to fulfill the different calls that he makes upon their lives. So an apostle will have the grace to be an apostle. He will have the anointing of God's grace to be an apostle. A prophet will have the grace to be a prophet, if he's a true prophet. Even a pastor will have the grace to be a pastor. Now, you wouldn't want to listen to a prophet who actually was not anointed and who was not graced by God to be a prophet, because you knew, you would know that you were listening to stuff that has come from the person and not from God, or even from some other source. But likewise, you wouldn't want to be pastored by someone who didn't have the grace to be a pastor. He didn't have the anointing. He didn't actually have the calling from God to be a pastor. So can you see, calling, anointing, grace, all go together to enable a person to do whatever he's being called to do. So the evangelist has the grace to be an evangelist. And, you know, the grace for an evangelist is very different from the grace on a pastor. Very few can have both those things together. Pastor Paul Taylor, who many of you know, he had the grace to do both. But that is quite unusual. If a church is led by someone with the grace to be an evangelist rather than a pastor, you have lots of people coming to the Lord, coming in through the front door, and you have just as many people going out the back door. Because there's no one to pastor them, to disciple them, and to really build their lives together. So all these different anointings and callings are complementary to one another. It's when the five work together that the body of Christ is built up. The trouble with many churches is they're trying to build or see the church built by only depending on two or three of the five. And yet, what the scripture clearly says is these five working together cause the body of Christ to be built up. Why? Because these anointings will prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. So, if you think of some of the other ministry gifts, administrators, you need anointed ministrators, which means you need people to whom God has given the grace to be an administrator. That's just as important as any other ministry, because if you're going to see the body of Christ built up, you need good administration. That's not my particular gifting. Hallelujah. So I thank God for anointed administrators. But you see, helpers, that's another ministry. We need anointed helpers, people that are always available, always ready to serve, always ready to help, and God gives them the grace to do that. You see, depending upon the grace of God increases your capacity. That's the point. And the more you trust in His grace, the greater your capacity to do what He calls you to do. Are you still breathing? So to everyone, to each one of us, that's very personal, to each one of us, God apportions grace. So there's that general grace that we all have, by which we're saved, by which we're the children of God, the sons of God. But then He apportions particular grace to you. And the grace He apportions to you, He doesn't apportion to anyone else. It's for you, you personally, just you. For the particular call that He has on your life. Now, you see, if you trust in His kindness to you every day, then you are expecting God to give you the grace every day that you need. So whatever He calls you to do, all you have to do is depend upon His grace. You know, sometimes God puts me in really tough sort of situations. And I can wake up in the morning knowing that there's something that is really, really going to be difficult, going to be testing, something that I would much rather not do if I had any choice in the matter. But if you're going to be obedient to God, then you don't have any choice in the matter, do you? But you see, what I've learned is to give thanks right there and then at the beginning of the day. Why? Because I know that by the end of the day, He will have supplied the grace to do that. Whatever it is, whatever the situation, He will have supplied the grace. And by the time I go back to sleep that night, I will have received the grace. God will have enabled me to do whatever it is He's calling me to do. Now, the same is true for every one of us. But if you have this mentality of trusting in His grace, then even when really tough and difficult things are put before you, you don't panic. You don't opt out and say, I can't do this, I can't do this. Of course you can't. That's why He supplies grace. He knows you can't do it. You don't have to impress Him that you can't do it. But He supplies you all the grace to enable you to do it. That's the whole point. But if you opt out, then you miss the best purposes of God because you've actually failed the test of your faith. Now, when you fail a test of faith, it's like failing your driving test. God will put the same test in front of you again and again and again until you pass it. So if you sort of opt out and back away from something that God is wanting you to do, don't think that, oh, well, whew, at least I got out of that. Because God will put the same test in front of you again and again and again and again until you do step out by faith in His grace and do what He wants. Because He wants you to grow. Spiritually, He wants you to grow to maturity. He wants you to trust Him more and more. He wants to use you more and more effectively. He wants to teach you that it's got nothing to do with you. It's all to do with trusting Him. Hallelujah. So, in other words, He is teaching us how to live in the supernatural. That if we look for the natural way that things will happen, we won't actually be operating in faith, because that's the way everybody in the world operates. But because we're in Christ, because we're seated with Him in heavenly places, all the supernatural riches of His kingdom are available to us. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's the full measure of His grace. Every blessing in heavenly places. Wow! But you see, those blessings get released as we trust in His grace. So, right at the end of the epistle, chapter 6, verse 23, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, both the love and the faith come from the Lord. If you trust in His grace, He will give you the faith. It's like a sort of, you know, circle. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Why? Because, you see, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So even when God puts before us something that we feel we cannot do, as we trust Him and step out in the obedience of faith that Paul talks about in Romans, so then we find God has a portion to us, the grace that we need to do that. So everything is dependent upon His grace. Okay, so let's apply this to what God is saying to us corporately now, because He will give you the grace you need personally, but He will also give to us the grace we need corporately to fulfill His call on us as the body of believers. He is telling us that we are to push back the powers of darkness, and we are to cause the light of His glory to shine out of our lives so that more and more people that have been in the deepest darkness are going to be delivered, healed, set free, and become children of light themselves. So God is ready to give you the grace to fulfill your part in that. Even if you've never sort of prayed like that before and this is something entirely new to you, God gives you the grace. He says, okay. He's not fazed by the fact that you've never done this before. He's not fazed by the fact that you're here. Say, well, you know, I'll leave it to everybody else. No, no, He's not fazed by that at all. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows where you put you. He knows you're here. He knows what He's asking of all of us, including you, to fulfill corporately. So He says, right, I will supply the grace you need. But how do you know you have the grace? Only as you step out and do it. You can't sit there and say, oh, Lord, I just need an experience. I need an event. Something. Something to tell me that the grace is upon me. No, no, no. Grace doesn't work like that. You can shake and still not have grace. Still not have grace. It's got nothing to do with stuff like that. God's not by things like that. It's when we step out in faith, God gives us grace. also, he wants to give us the grace for militant praise. It's got to step up a bit, hasn't it? Militant faith, militant prayer. Prayer's got to step up to another level. Everything's going to step up to another level. Why? Because we prove faithful in what we have done in terms of worship and prayer. God says, okay, now I'm going to lift you up to another level. Because he lifts up those who prove faithful to what he's put before them. So this is a good sign. Oh, thank you, Lord. You don't want us to go on as we have been. Good though that was. You want something even better now, something more powerful now, something that's going to be more effective in your kingdom purposes now. I'm up for it, Lord. Now, you see, this may be a little bit different from what you've been used to, or even with what you're comfortable with, but God's not, he couldn't care a toffee for what you're comfortable with. He always discomforts us before he comforts us. See, when he puts something in front of you that is beyond you, you do not feel comfortable. And it's no use saying, oh, I must be the enemy because I don't feel comfortable. No, no, no. It's God saying, come on, I'm going to shake you up and move you on to another level. Then he comforts us, which means in Scripture he strengthens us. To comfort is not to say, there, there, it's all right, children. I'm here with you. That's not the comfort of God. The comfort of God is he strengthens. When in Isaiah 40 it says, comfort, comfort my people, what it means, the word comfort actually means to give strength to come alongside and give strength. So God gives us strength, power to do that which is comfortable once we've been made uncomfortable. Can you get it? And this is the only way you grow. You see, if you just stayed where you are now, you wouldn't grow, would you? You just, only did what you feel comfortable with. You wouldn't grow. You wouldn't grow in faith. You wouldn't grow in your relationship with God. You wouldn't grow in effectiveness and fruitfulness. You'd just be boring. And your Christian life would soon be very boring. Because it'd just be the same old thing. Week in, week out, month in, month out. But God has exciting things planned for you, doesn't he? And that's the great thing, that he never tells us everything that's going to happen in the future. Sometimes he may, just give an indication of something he's going to do in our lives, but you still got to walk step by step with him. I always remember when I was first, really conscious of the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life, and he would say something that he was going to do that was sort of down the track a bit. I always felt, oh, Lord, if only I could just take one big leap and be in that place. And he'd say, no way. You've got to walk step by step. And I'll take you to that place. But you see, each step is a step of faith. It's a step of faith in his grace. So have we got it? Have we got the message? Let's stand then. Come into the middle here. Oh, how I feel hot this morning. Ho-ho! Rasanta bakara sita. I mean, this is what dependence on his grace does. Your confidence gets built up. And you say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. More and more. Come on, let's praise him for his grace. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Kupara sandari alata bakalasita. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Papara sandaria lero bakara sandaria lero bakara sitri santuma. Papara sandaria lero bakara sitri santuma. O papara sandaria lero bakara sitama. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Papara sandaria lero bakara sataria lero bakara sitri santuma. O papara sandaria lero bakara sitri santuma. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that it is by grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. That in love he predestined to adopt you as his child. Hallelujah. Come on, give him real thanks for this. According to his glorious grace that he has lavished upon you. Come on, thank him for that lavish grace. Oh, praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have lavished your grace upon me. You have lavished your grace upon me, and I give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that every day he wants to show his kindness to you. Hallelujah. He wants to continue to give to you out of his love, out of his kindness, through his grace. Every day, lavishing more and more and more. Grace upon grace. That's how John puts it. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. One act of love after another, one gift after another, one act of kindness after another. Come on, just give him glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Popara zandaria lero bakala sitri sandaria lero bakala sitama. Bostakalaria lero bakala sitri sandama. O papara zandaria lero bakala sitri sandarama. O papara sandaria letra pakala sitri sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Po papara sandaria letra pakala sitama. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Po papara sandaria letra pakala sitri sandama. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So thank him that he's given you the particular grace you need. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, he's given you the grace. He apportions you that grace. Hallelujah. Thank him for it. As you step out in faith, as you step out in obedience, you will find that grace is there to enable you to do whatever it is he's calling you to do. He gives you the grace to say no to sin, no to temptation, and yes to righteousness. Come on, thank him that he gives you the grace to resist every temptation. Hallelujah. That grace is in Jesus. He resisted temptation. You are in Jesus. He gives you the grace to resist that temptation, to say no to sin, no to selfishness, no to the flesh, and yes to Jesus, yes to the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You have given me grace. I don't have to fight in my own strength, but by depending upon your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him that he's given you the grace to obey whatever it is he's asking of you. You can't feel it. You can't see it, you can't touch it, but that grace is there. Thank him. Thank him. He apportions to you. He gives to you the specific grace you need for your specific life, his specific call upon you at this specific time. Thank him. You have all that grace available to you. Come on, really thank him now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All that grace is available to me. All that grace is mine. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank him. How personal that is. Personal for you. He doesn't give you the grace to be anyone else. He doesn't give you the grace to be like anyone else. He gives you the grace to be like him. Whatever grace you need to reflect his love, his life, his presence, his power, thank him. Lord, I thank you that you give me that grace. You never leave me lacking. You never leave me lacking. You have lavished your grace upon me. You keep giving that grace out of your kindness. You supply that grace in every way necessary for what I have to do. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. O papara zandaria lero bakarasita balantuma. Now can you love the Lord with an undying love? See, that's a love that's not based upon feelings, not based upon circumstances. But it's a love that no matter how you feel, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the challenges, you still love the Lord. And you know that he is still sovereign in your life. That he knows exactly what is going on. And he supplies all the grace for you. Hallelujah. All the grace you need. All the wisdom and the understanding that goes with that grace. Thank him for that wisdom. Hallelujah. It's always wise to trust in his grace, isn't it? It's always wise to trust in his grace to resist temptation. It's always wise to trust in his grace when there's some specific thing that he puts in front of us to do. And he gives us understanding of how that grace will abound in our lives. And what does he say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So thank him that that grace is always sufficient for you. Always, always, always. Always, 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 always. Always sufficient for you. Puparazandaria lero bakarasituri sandama. O papara zandaria lero bakara sitri sandama. O papara zandaria lero bakara sitri sandaria lero bakara sinama. Thank you, Jesus. Papara zandaria lenama. Now thank him that he gives to Kingdom Faith corporately the grace we need to fulfill this call to push back the powers of darkness. Amen. He gives us the grace we need to actually reveal the light of his glory, to see more and more people being rescued from the darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Saraba tutu pahahara. Hupaharia letu pakara santarama. Hupapara salabaria letu pakara santuma. Hupapara situri sandaria letu pakara sinama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Poparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. O paparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm happy. Anybody else here happy? Poparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Poparazandaria, come on. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Poparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Oh, paparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Oh, pastakalaria leroba karasitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Poparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Oh, paparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Oh, paparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Oh, now thank him that his grace will never fail you. That his power will be made perfect in your weakness. Yes, 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 yes. Puparazandaria lenama. His grace is sufficient for you, and his power is made perfect in your weakness. So thank him, your weakness doesn't matter because you have his grace to enable you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Poparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. O paparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Brataparia leroba karasitri sandaria leroba karasitaria lenama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, paparazandaria leroba karasandarama. Boparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Is there a sound of victory in the room? Is there a sound of victory in the room? Poparazandaria leroba karasitri sandara basutaba. Oh, paparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Oh, paparazandaria leroba karasitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Right now, just before we finish, thank God for the grace that is on all those around you. See, he's given each one, he's apportioned to each one the specific grace that that person needs. So, you know, in honoring the anointing, remember what it said, honor one another out of reverence for Christ. So honor the grace and the anointing that is upon all those around you. That is upon your mentor, upon your discipleship group leaders, upon your fellow students, upon the team members. Fellow team members, just thank God that grace abounds more and more, the scripture says. His grace abounds to us more and more. So, Lord, we thank you that you have apportioned grace to every one of us in this room in precisely the right way. And we honor you for that. We honor one another. Thank you, Lord, that we can treat each other graciously. Hallelujah. We can be thankful that you have graced each in the specific ways needed. Thank you. We don't have to be jealous of anybody else's anointing, nor do we have to be proud of any anointing that you have given us. But we can just take our place humbly in the whole scheme of things in the body of Christ. Just seek to fulfill that which you have asked of us for the praise and honor of your name. Kokarabatandara basitri santo. Bostakalaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Kuralama sandarama. Come on, let's just praise him. Urala masi turi santo. Hallelujah. hallelujah. Kuralama salamaria lenama santuma. Bolalamaria lenama santuma kalasinuma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy, holy name. Glory and honor, dominion and power belong to you, O Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kulalama salamaria lenama santo. Hira la maria lenama santuma. Ora la maria lenama santo rialeto pacala santo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank Him that He supplies all your healing through His grace. Any way in which you need His healing at your life, in your life at this time, through His grace, if you need healing, just lift your hands to the Lord. Doesn't matter whether it's emotional, physical, relationship, whatever it is. Just lift your hands, say, Lord. I'm reaching out to you for your grace now. My faith is in your grace to release your healing power in my life for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, something powerful is happening here. See, it's all the work of His grace. Don't look at yourself and say, do I have enough faith? Look at Him and thank Him for His grace. That's how faith in His grace grows. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Him for His grace to provide whatever provision you need. Hallelujah. He wants to meet every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All the work of His grace. Healing is the work of His grace. The provision is a work of His grace. Everything that He gives is a work of His grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And last of all, thank Him that He gives you the grace to do things you've never done before. And that as He puts those things in front of you, you won't stand back and say, I can't. You'll move forward and trust in His grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Poparazandari alero bakalasi to the sanduma. Oh, paparazandari alero bakalasi to the sanduma. Oh, paparazandari alero bakalasi to the sanduma. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. What a great and mighty God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Poparazandari alero bakalasi to the Paul says, through His grace, He wanted to give us everything that belongs to Christ. What He has, we are to have. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He is able to cause all His grace to overflow in your lives so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need and much more beside, you will overflow in the way you bless others. That's the truth version. Just look up above you there. It's there all the time. Every day you come in here, you see. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Oh, you know, when we first put that scripture up there, when we first built this worship hall, because this wasn't here when we bought the building. Our idea was to change the scripture up there every so often. We had somebody who could cut out these numbers like that, these letters like that, and do a good job. But somehow that scripture's always stuck there. It's been there since 1989, so 28 years ago. But it's a good scripture to remind us every day that he makes all grace. All grace! Not a little bit, but all grace abound to us. So that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we abound in every good work. Come on, let's have a great big shout of praise to finish. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.